Hey guys, welcome to the Luke Simons podcast. On today's episode, I am sharing the mic with Richard Collins. So he is the co-director at Physique Code. If you're from WA, you probably already know him. He's a massive mentor in the fitness industry, and he specializes in body composition. He's a body composition coach. Richard, thanks for having me. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Sweet, man. So pretty much, let's go into a bit of an introduction about yourself, man. So
cool.
Tell me your story. When you kind of were coming out from school, how'd you get to where you are now?
I was doing PE. I was doing a lot of stuff with sports athletes, even in year 12. Always really enjoyed PE and whatnot. I wanted to do personal training. I wanted to work with sports athletes after I finished high school. So that would have been 2006. Going into 2006, I ended up, rather than doing the certificate 3 and 4, I was in Melbourne and I went to Box Hill TAFE and I did the advanced diploma of sporting development, which was a 2-year course that was based around working with sports athletes. I was lucky enough to have a teacher there that was the head of strength and conditioning for Collingwood and Hawthorn Football Club at the time. So I had a really good mentor from day one. So I got to do a lot of mentoring work through him. Sort of while I was doing that, I was doing a lot of work experience at a very, very well-known bodybuilding gym in Melbourne called Definition. And I sort of, as I was doing both, I sort of fell in love with that a little bit more. And you know, not just bodybuilding, but body composition and working in the gym. And I actually got a job at a commercial gym in Melbourne and I started working there as a personal trainer. And from there, I've sort of, just educated myself, upskilled, trained people, made every mistake in the book, moved over to Perth about 9 or 10 years ago now from Melbourne. And I started working at a couple gyms over here and, you know, we sort of built up a reputation of getting results and met Alice Cousins, who's my business partner at the Physique Code. I had always enjoyed doing training programming, which is an area that I've always preferred over nutrition. Alice actually preferred nutrition. So we sort of both were quite busy. So we started linking up and she was taking nutrition for clients and I was actually taking the training. And we got some absolutely phenomenal results from general population people to bodybuilders at INBA, which is ICN now. We ended up just sort of combining our two businesses together and it sort of took off. And we were working at Power Fitness in Bibra Lake running something called Strength Camp, which was just basically a group class teaching people how to train and how to use progressive overload. We saved up a bunch of money and we realized that it was cheaper to actually open a gym for us rather than have to, you know, both pay rent at a commercial property. So we ended up, you know, getting a little bit of equipment, moving into a private facility sort of halfway between my gym and her gym. And, the rest is history. It sort of just built itself up from there. So we've been in our facility now for, I believe four and a half years. I'll have to double check the number on that, but it's been really cool. So that's sort of the background story with what I've done and where I've come from.
Were you always interested in, say, sports athletes, or was it just kind of like it just happened when you were studying it?
So I used to play quite a high level of basketball, and I think it sort of stemmed from there. Sport performance training, and I had enjoyed that because I didn't really know any other sort of facet to the gym industry at that point, because that was all I was exposed to was playing basketball. So I think that's what started my enjoyment through that. And I think as I was sort of, having mentors teaching me different, other facets of training with body composition and helping people look better. And obviously that's in terms of clientele, that's always the client. That's the market that's never going to go out of fashion. Every single person in the world wants to look good. That's just what my mentor had actually told me is, anybody that says they don't want to look better is a liar. So, I think the actual market for running a successful business was a little bit more appealing to me. And I enjoyed it the same, if not more. And I've just sort of run down that alley since about 2008 now.
So was there much of a difference coming from transitioning from sports athletes to kind of body composition in a sense of like transferring?
Yeah, I think, first off, I think the actual training and understanding of like biomechanics and training technique is very, very different, because generally when you deal with athletes, you come into people that are very well coordinated and have a great understanding of how their body works, even if they don't realize it, just because of, you know, playing sport and whatnot. Whereas sometimes when you go into the personal training industry, you may actually be dealing with people that, you know, haven't had a background in physical exercise or whatnot. And, you know, things that I didn't even need to deal with in the sport development world, you know, like movement patterns and things like that, that you needed to a little bit, but not nearly to the extent of regression of exercises that you would in the personal training world. So I think that was probably the biggest change for me. But in terms of that, you know, a lot of the assessments were actually quite similar. I will go out on a limb here, and people might disagree with me, but I think the body composition world it's easier to achieve results than it is in the sporting world.
In terms of like, because the results that you're trying to get in the sporting world is high level performance changes, right? So in terms of...
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't necessarily just high level performance. Like, we also dealt with a lot of children, you know, kids in from year six to, you know, up to high school and a little bit older. But I mean, you know, the goals there potentially could have been, you know, there's a little bit of getting leaner, but majority of the time I worked with majority basketball and football players. So it was a lot more speed and agility work. So the assessments that we would do would be a little bit more based on, you know, how fast they're moving or lower rep range work or things like that. Whereas with body composition, you know, that sort of stuff. So like it's important, but it also is not a primary goal for a lot of these people. You know, like how fast they can run from A to B is not really going to be a measure that they're going to care about. Whereas, you know, for them, it's going to be more about, you know, a girth measurement or a progress photo or scale weight or something like that. So I feel like there was a little bit of a difference there, just, you know, the methods of assessment that you'd have to do and the way you have to train them. So it is quite different, but at the same time, I find it, you know, it's almost more enjoyable to do, because I think it can change somebody's life completely. Whereas with the sporting stuff, it will, but at the same time, it's always the background to the actual sporting event. Whereas, you know, when you take somebody that's never been able to lose weight before in their life and then they turn around and, you know, you help them through nutrition and training and just being more active, be able to lose 4 or 5 kilos that they never thought they can lose, you know, that transforms their life. Like, that makes them feel amazing. So I think, you know, in regards to that, I do tend to enjoy it a little bit more, because I feel like I can have more of an impact in that regard than I can in the sports development world. So, you know, different for different people. I know a lot of really good strength and conditioning coaches that will say the complete opposite. But I think, you know, just for me personally, I felt like I could have more of an impact, and I started to enjoy it more just because I could see that I was helping more people.
Yeah, I think I've had conversations with a lot of strength and conditioning coaches, and they're always looking for those athletes, and they're like, oh, I kind of want to go away from the gen pop kind of body composition side. I just want to work with high level kind of performance in a sense. And that's most of the conversations with, you know, some of those coaches I'm having are. I'm assuming you have the same conversations all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, it's I don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I just feel like, you know, what some people may prefer is going to be different to what others prefer. And I think, you know, I've done both, and I found a lot more enjoyment, again, coming back into the body composition world. And, you know, when I first started taking people that were, you know, I can never lose weight and cutting carbs and sugar and whatnot, and being able to show them and teach them, you know, the actual, sort of the laws of nutrition and training and energy balance, and, you know, be able to adherently get them to lose weight and keep it off. And I think for me, you know, that was a lot more fun for me. So yeah, I've sort of run with that all the way from, you know, general population clients all the way up to, you know, nowadays it's sort of veered off a little bit into the fitness and physique world, dealing with some of the, you know, bodybuilders or fitness models or whatever it might be. But, you know, the same principles apply for those guys that for general population people as well. You know, it's about creating, you know, manipulating their body composition and getting them to lose body fat and gain muscle mass to a point where they're happy with themselves.
Is there much difference between general pop kind of body composition and contest prep?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like the principles will be exactly the same. You know, obviously the nutrition principles are exactly the same. The training principles are exactly the same. We'll have energy balance. I think that the major difference between the two is when at Physique Code, when we look at general population clientele, we look at sustainability to be a really, really important part of the process. So everything that we do, if they can't sustainably continue to do it, we won't do it, because, you know, the last thing we want is to do something unsustainable and then they lose a bunch of weight and then they can't keep doing it. So then they gain the weight back, and which is actually quite common with what happens with a lot of people, which is considered as yo-yo dieting. So with general lifestyle and general population clientele, we still follow the same guidelines that we'd use for the contest prep, but we have a, you know, everything comes down to sustainability, and we want to get, it takes a little bit longer. We're not quite as aggressive. But yeah, we want to look at sustainability as the goal there and be able to achieve the results within a sustainable approach. Whereas with the physique competitors, you know, the goal is it's a time-based event. We have a specific day where they have to be as lean as possible, as muscular as possible, as full as possible. And we understand that it's not a sustainable event, or it's not a sustainable physique. So we may push things a little bit further than we regularly would. And you know, it's a, again, it's a, we're not doing it to say, yep, you're going to look like this for the rest of your life. It's more of a, okay, we need to get you looking like this for one day. It's not necessarily healthy. And then we need to get you out of it and get you back healthy. And then, you know, continue to progress and grow muscle until the next time we decide to do it, where we'll, you know, spend a longer phase of getting lean and hopefully having you a bit more muscular with a little bit less body fat the time after. So there is, I mean, same principles, but there is a big difference on, you know, sustainability versus time-based events, I think. So that would be the major difference between them.
Yeah. Love that. And obviously talking contest prep, it's not, obviously health is like another aspect of training and fitness. And obviously when you go down to those incredible kind of like body fat percentages and stuff like that, health kind of would probably take a bit of a hit or a standpoint.
Absolutely. I don't actually put bodybuilding in. And when I say bodybuilding, I still also mean like bikini divisions and just bodybuilding as a show. You know, I don't put that in the health and fitness realm. I mean, you do things that, will bring you healthy, and in an off season, absolutely, it's going to be healthy. But, you know, for a lot of the athletes, having a more than necessity level of muscle can be just as unhealthy, or maybe it isn't. For some people it can be, and getting to such low body fat levels, you know, also is not necessarily going to be a healthy thing. So I don't generally actually look at the body composition sports as health and fitness. I look at that as more of a physique contest. Whereas if we're looking at general population clients, you know, and if we're looking at, you know, health is the absence of disease. So, you know, getting somebody to 2% body fat is probably going to, you know, affect their immune system, which can, you know, be bad in the long term if they stay there. So we're not going to look at that as health. On the other side, fitness would be, you know, I guess at the end of the day, there's many facets to fitness, but it's also looking at, you know, what people mainly take it for is, you know, cardiovascular fitness or anything like that. And, you know, when the body is starved of food for a long period of time, which is what you have to do to get to like a bodybuilding stage, you know, those sort of things start to fail as well, because you just don't have enough energy in your body to be able to perform at your very best. So again, it's kind of, when you actually break it down, it's kind of hard to put it into a health and fitness category. So, you know, general population clients for us are going to be a little bit more health and fitness, because we're always going to keep them at a sustainable level. And we're going to try to get them looking as good as they can and be as strong as they possibly can, but we'll never veer outside of, you know, they're too lean where they can't perform, or their body fat is too high where it's putting them at risk of health issues. So, yeah, I think they are two different things. I definitely would separate those two. But again, you know, everybody comes in with different goals. So,
and you have to have that conversation at the start, right? Like, hey, like, yeah, you know, if you're coming in for some general population kind of goal, in a sense of, hey, I just want to feel a little bit better, a little bit more confident. You know, yeah, I want to have sex with the lights on, whatever the goal is, right?
Yeah.
You kind of have to be like, all right, sweet, we're going to do this, and this is the kind of the parameters that we're going to work with. And then you've got a contest prep person and you're like, okay, cool, we're going to bring you down here. It's not going to be the most healthiest, but this is our plan to get out of it as well. Cause you always have that rebound, yeah, kind of like training.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So in terms of like health wise, they're talking just strictly body fat, like what's kind of a healthy kind of range to kind of be in your opinion?
It's hard because there's very few methods of measuring body fat that are going to be accurate. So one thing at Physique Code, it's a little bit different with a lot of places, is we will never actually give a body fat percentage number, because if you do it on a DEXA scan versus one of those in-bodies versus skin folds, you're going to get different results. Like skin folds generally pinch lower than everything else. And a lot of the assessments won't factor in water. That'll just count as lean body mass. So for example, if you drink 3 liters of water or you're dehydrated, that may add 2 or 3 kilos of lean body mass, which can affect the numbers on the skin folds or the DEXA scan or anything like that. So again, the body fat on a DEXA scan, I can give you the numbers, but I mean, you'd have to go get a DEXA scan for that. But we generally see males around about the 10 to 12% body fat, and females around about 15 to 16. Going any lower than that probably will start impacting health and performance. So on both males and females. But you also have to look at it on the other end of the spectrum, that the higher your weight is and the higher your body fat is, you're going to get other issues, which obviously aren't good for health and fitness on the other side of the scale. So generally I don't think males, above 18 to 20% and below 10 to 12, I probably would try to avoid those ranges. And then with females, anything from 15 to 16 up to 24, 25, I think is probably would be the guidelines off a DEXA scan that you would see. And most people, you're not going to get issues with performance or anything like that in any of those sort of variables. Like if you were to go higher, you may find that cardiovascular health is a little bit limited, and you might not be able to be as fit as possible because you're carrying around more weight than the body wants to while you're running or anything like that. Whereas, if you start going too low, you may find that you have issues with, training or performance just because you don't have the sufficient energy in your body, like we'd said before. Around those areas, I think are probably a general guideline. There's always going to be outliers. I've got a few clients that can walk around at 6% body fat that are just genetic freaks, and you just got to take it for what it is. If I had to give rough guidelines, it would probably be around that.
Lovely, man. And when did like business start really kind of taking off for you, in a sense? It's like when you started building a lot of momentum, kind of walk me through those early stages of business and kind of what actions you did or what types of tips and tricks you can kind of offer the audience here to kind of help grow their business, in a sense.
Yeah. Well, we've had a bit of an interesting, business venture. So I always say, anybody in regards to these questions, we always say that we are trainers before business people. I'm not saying this is the best way, and in a lot of ways it probably isn't the best way. But we had always focused on doing our job to the best of our ability, providing the best service that we can, constantly upskilling to, again, deliver a better service and get the best results we possibly could. When we had done that, I found that within this industry, there's a lot of trainers, there's a lot of coaches, and we were getting results probably better than some other places could be. And I think, our marketing started off by word of mouth. People were, losing weight, and they go tell their friends, or their friends would say, "You look amazing." We had quite a local build up at the gym that Alice was at, and the gym that I was at. We sort of became like go-to trainers within the gym. So everybody, and I think that's where it had started. And then, I think we had done a few of the bodybuilding competitions, and that obviously brings up a little bit of marketing as well. Instagram came along. So we were actually, we were working before Instagram was around or anything like that. So once that had come around, we had already had really good results. We had a lot of really good before and after photos and things like that. And, we sort of just made a point to, get the best results we could, and then show people the results that we got. And that was sort of always our main focus. And our KPIs were always results based, which I think, something that I haven't really heard of too many people doing. However, the people that I have heard of doing that have been very, very successful. So that's probably a tip of advice.
Walk me through that.
Yeah. So, you know, there can be a lot of people that will have, you know, generate, you know, have a certain amount of leads, or they have a certain amount of members in the gym or whatnot, or things like that. And, you know, like, for example, I get commercial gyms, they may say you need to sign up X amount of people or whatnot. Whereas for us, our whole theory was, you know, if we can't get results with 10 people, if we then have 30 and we can't get results with 10, we're not going to get results with 30. That's going to have a bad reputation on us. So we need to make sure that, you know, we're satisfying the clients that we have currently before we take on more clients. And it was a little bit of a slower process, but it also forced us to upskill really well and learn on the job with experience as well as education. And then, you know, we sort of mapped out and sort of worked out some systems and worked out ways of coaching that could get better results for clients. And, you know, we just sort of found that our results got better and better. And, you know, coming back to it, once Instagram came around and social media a little bit more, you know, we were sort of, you know, using all those little crappy free app things and just putting pictures of, you know, this is 6 months, this is 12 weeks and whatnot. And we were constantly posting them up, and it drew a ton of traction, and people started messaging, and it wasn't just local clients like we'd already built our business off of from, you know, our commercial gyms. And then we were starting to get more and more people come across. And, you know, I think one of the key things, that one of the biggest tips that I can give to trainers, and I say this at every single one of my lectures or anything like that, is that one of the things that it becomes a dominoes effect. So one of the biggest things that you can have as a business or as a coach to help excel your business is buy-in. So, you know, if you have buy-in from a client, they're going to listen to you more. And a lot of the time, a lot of these clients, they only need the very basics to get results. If you have great buy-in and they already trust you because they've seen the results you've gotten with other clients, it makes them that much more adherent to what you're currently doing. And I think, you know, we built a really good business off of our buy-in. So we're not at the point, you know, where people were coming to us and saying, hey, you know, I've seen the results you've got with X, Y, and Z, you know, I want what they have. And then, you know, they join up and they've already got, you know, they already trust us that we're able to get the results. So they'll listen to everything that we do. And we've sort of had that from day one, which I think has been a really good thing for us, because a lot of the clientele that we get that come in, you know, we don't have to necessarily sell to them or whatnot. They sort of just, when they join up because they, you know, they have the reputation and they've seen the results that we've gotten, and they just sort of listen and they just sort of follow what we tell them to do. And when they're adherent to a plan, you know, it doesn't have to be super complicated. It can just be a few lifestyle adjustments and a little bit more activity, and, you know, they start seeing amazing results. And with the buy-in, it just makes life so much easier, because they, you know, there's just a lot of the, oh, I'm not seeing any results, and now I don't trust them, I might go do something else or anything like that. And it kind of just like sort of goes around that, where they say, you know, I'll stick to the plan, these guys get results. And, you know, and I think that's been a huge, huge factor actually in the physique coach success. So if I can give, you know, trainers advice on that, is to, you know, be able to create buy-in, because buy-in is such a powerful tool for business, you know, and reputation, especially in, you know, WA is quite small. You know, a lot of the fitness industry knows everybody. So, you know, if you're able to constantly bring up results, everybody's going to know somebody that's, you know, trained with us or whatnot. And, you know, everybody will say, yep, go there. They get great results. And it just creates, again, more trust in the brand and more buy-in in the brand. And I think, you know, being able to create that is a really, really important thing for your business long term.
And to get buy-in, you get results. That's how you get buy-in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, from our opinion, you know, the best way, you know, you can always, I feel like, you know, we can always tell people why we do so well and why you should come and train with us. And if they join in, all they're going to have to go off of is just me sort of telling them. Whereas, you know, if we have, you know, a bunch of really, really good results with people that they know, that, you know, they know are normal people just like them, you know, it's almost, that's the selling point to them, is, you know, they're saying, look, you know, well, I'm going to go see them because they've got this result with that person. So I don't really need to, you know, constantly say, you know, you need to do this or you need to do that. You know, they come in and they're like, okay, tell me what I need to do, because I've seen you've been able to do this before. So that's another real reason why I think it's really important to, for coaches, and especially for new coaches coming up, is to, you know, focus on, you know, your service, be professional, but also, you know, continually upskill to get the best results you possibly can, because those are all little things that, you know, are going to work in your favor when you go down the track. And it's almost a domino effect, you know, like you get, you know, we start getting clientele now that are, you know, trainers and, you know, everything from beginners to high level coaches. And you know, their adherence is amazing. You know, we don't have to check up on them. We know they're just going to stick to what they're going to do. And it makes it so easy to get results. So it almost turns into like a domino effect with the business. And I think, you know, you can't actually get that without good buy-in and good trust within the business. So I think, you know, the more of that you can create, the more value your business is going to have, and the easier it is to actually get results in the long term.
Do you find yourself, in terms of like, probably not now because you're working with, you know, you have a lot of buy-in with your clients and stuff, but at the start, when you were trying to, you know, build, get those results at the start, and say people weren't following certain plans that you were kind of dishing out, and you were just struggling to get those results at the start, like, do you have any advice for people coming out of Fit College and stuff like that, where they're just like, they got no results and they're like, shit, like, I'm trying to get this buy-in, but no one's following the plan?
Yep. So lots of little things here. And I actually had a mentor of mine, Phil Learney, who's a guy in London, who's he runs a course called the Advanced Coaching Academy. So on the Instagram, he's the PT coach. All new coaches, I suggest follow him. He's absolutely incredible. And I attribute a lot of my business to him. He would always set rules of, you know, be as professional as you can in the gym. So you want to become the go-to person within your gym. So if you haven't got the results quite yet, you need to have the professionalism. So, you know, if you go into a lot of gyms and there's trainers with their shirts untucked and they're, you know, either sitting on their phone or, you know, they look sort of casual or whatnot, you know, those are all things that are hurting your brand. So, you know, if you don't have the results to mark it off, you know, things like coming into the gym and talking to people and being professional and writing down their name so that you can come in and reach out to them so that, you know, they feel comfortable with you. You know, having their program written out, showing, you know, and things that everybody should, these are all basic things that everybody should do, but a lot of it, just, you don't see it too much when you go into commercial gyms these days. And, you know, like if you were going to walk in and you see, four trainers and they're all sitting around slouch posture, compared to somebody, you know, with their shirt tucked in, looking professional, looking clean, holding a clipboard with, the client's program and putting all the attention on them. You know, clients, that will create buy-in for you right there, because you're automatically going to look more professional. And you know, that, I think that, you know, adds to your brand and things like that as well. And, you know, by doing that and upskilling, and chatting to as many people as you can, or remembering things about them, you know, even if they don't want a trainer at that current time, you know, it could be down the track. Whereas I feel comfortable with that person, you know, he came up and he chatted to me. And then, you know, if they're going to get a trainer and there's 15 trainers at the gym, you know which one they're going to go to. So, you know, with a lot of my mentoring clients, we sort of set guidelines like that, where we say, you know, make sure you go up and talk to three people today at the gym that you don't have to, that aren't, have absolutely nothing to do with what you enjoy. So if you like bodybuilding training, go talk to some moms that are, you know, just doing cardio or something like that. And, you know, don't try to sell them anything, but go introduce yourself and, you know, learn something about them and things like that. Because, you know, that's the sort of stuff that when people are looking for a trainer, they're going to come to you first thing off the bat, because they feel comfortable with you and you're building a rapport with them and all that. So those sort of things, I think, are really, really vital. Professionalism is a massive one, absolute massive one for me. So, you know, showing that you care, shirt tucked in, keeping the attention 100% on the client when you have the client, things like that, you know, that all, I think, builds trust in your business as well as a professional. And I think things like that, that even though it's not results, they still are going to factor in when, you know, you have, you know, other trainers, which are your competition in the gym, they're going to be the kind of things that are going to, you know, make you stand out against the rest, even before you get the results. So that would be my advice to them. At the same time, you know, trying to learn as much as you possibly can about the clientele that you have, you know, so it's not so much coming back to it again, because this is another issue that we see quite a lot, is, you know, trainers tend to learn about what they personally enjoy, not necessarily what's going to add value to their clientele. You know, so I think, you know, one key to it is not making the clients train how you want to train, but, you know, understand the needs of the client. And if there's things there that you're not 100% comfortable with, go find a course to do it and, you know, come back and that's going to add more value to the client, which is going to add more client value to the business, which is in turn going to help you get more results and help you get more clients.
Love it, man. And if you're going, you come straight out of, say, Fit College or PT College or whatever, and you're obviously looking to, for the first level of upskilling, what do you think is, what would be the first thing you want to kind of upskill your skills in? Like, is it nutrition? Is it training programs? What would you recommend people learn first?
Well, it depends on the niche that you want, the type of demographic of clientele that you want to work with, I think. I think being able to create adherence with clients is the number one thing, regardless of who they are, is the number one thing that they're going to need to get results. Now, you know, with nutrition, there's a lot of, upskilling for understanding, you know, the ins and outs of diets and macronutrients and micronutrients and things like that. For a lot of people, like, you would be surprised with some of our clientele, even that we have now, that, you know, their initial diet with this might just be, let's try to swap a pizza that's 700 calories on a Friday night for a pizza that's 300 calories, you know, and we might be able to get 400 calories out of a diet there without eliminating pizza. Or it could be, you know, let's try to have, rather than, you know, have a lower calorie alcohol drink. So, you know, it's not obviously not the best diet, but it's going to be stuff that they can stay adherent to. And we're finding ways to lower calories. So I think, you know, just being able to understand and create adherence within their program and, you know, have the ability to, you know, learn what, how to make small changes without, you know, having to delve deep into some super scientific thing that they're not going to need in the first place. Some people may just need to go for a 30-minute walk a day and they'll start seeing results. So I think it would be more so just learning the ability to, having the ability to learn what to give clientele, just to make small changes and not to overcomplicate things and, you know, make sure they're having fun and make sure that everything they're doing is adherent and things like that. I sort of found that's a hard one because I sort of found that, and I'm still getting better at that now after 15 years. I think experience will come into play a lot with that. Going back to that Advanced Coaching Academy again, they had a lot of good stuff that was in that course that helped with psychology and, you know, really basics of clients that have never, you know, been to the gym before and things like that. But I always look at the most important thing is that, because without adherence, you don't have anything. So you can write the most scientific perfect program, the most scientific perfect diet, you know, measure them in the best possible way you can, but if they can't stick to it, then it means nothing. It's terrible. So again, I think, you know, being able to understand and learn how to adherently and sustainably create minor changes and then just build on it from there as they, you know, as things become habits is probably the key to getting results for a lot of clients. And there's a lot of clients that have, you know, have come into Physique Code and they've said, oh, you know, I got put on this diet, or I had to use my Fitness Pal, and really that they were never going to do that from the start. And, you know, so again, it might be the right thing to do, but for that particular client, it's not. So, you know, just making tiny sudden changes yields massive, massive results over a long term for a client and keeping them having fun. So I think, you know, being able to develop the ability to do that and not overcomplicate things when you first start out, because it is very easy in the information era right now and going over social media, trying to find all the, you know, different training techniques and diet things and, you know, all that sort of stuff, which are actually geared more towards, you know, it's, you know, if you don't understand it fully, then you can't use that and break it down and simplify it to general population clientele. And I think you just sort of overcomplicate it and adherence is gone with those clients. So that to me is always going to be the number one thing. And I think, you know, people that get better at doing that get results much, much faster.
And do you get better at that by trial and error with more people you see, the more people you communicate, you can make it with different personality types, different people who've had different things in their life. Like, is it just experience?
Yeah, I mean, experience is probably, well, it is going to be very, very important that, because it's not like there's a system to it. Like, everybody's not the same. So it is, you know, every person will be a little bit different. And I think it will end up being, you know, it's not trial and error to build a system. I think it's trial and error with the person. And I think it's, if you would break it down, it's probably a communication skill, you know, and being able to openly, you know, chat to the client and say, well, what can you stick to? you know, what do you think is something that's, you know, we always say that with our clientele, is like, what is a realistic thing for you to stick to? You know, and if someone says, you know, we have a few families that are Italian, big Italian families, and they have, you know, their pasta night on Friday night. And, you know, if you were to try to take that away from them, there's no way they'd stick to it because their family would give them peer pressure and things like that. So, you know, being able to, you know, just make minor changes and things like that, and communicate with them and say, look, is this something that you can change? No, probably not. Cool. No problems. It might not be the best thing for you, but if it's going to lead to less adherence, then we're not even going to go near it. So let's focus on something that maybe we can change. So, you know, I think I guess it would be a communication skill and being able to, you know, talk to the client and get a really good understanding of what they're willing to do, and what they're willing to change, rather than try to force, you know, a bunch of change on them that they're just not going to do.
I love that. And it's, communication is key, right? Because communication is the thing that's going to open the floodgates for you to get the information that you can act upon to then create the right plan for them. And constantly I see, you know, when I was, you know, going to the gyms and working within the gyms, all the different types of gyms, I actually realized that the funny thing is that, like, there's some like trainers out there who don't really know too much scientifically, but they're fucking good communicators. So people just want to go around and hang around them, and they got a really successful business. And it's like, if you can get the communication right and just learn how to communicate correctly and then understand obviously habits as well, because that's what I think, what I really learned when I was training myself, but also learning about myself and my habits with nutrition and training, understanding why people kind of like verge or like move towards certain things in a sense, like you'll have an easier time when you understand them fully, to then you can create a bulletproof plan for them in a sense.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's funny, I always say with anybody that owns a business in personal training, or they're looking at hiring a staff or anything like that, is you hire on personality, because you can teach anybody anything. So if you hire on personality, because, you know, you can't train them. That's, you know, you can't tell an introvert to be extremely extroverted and outgoing. You know, you can teach people knowledge, you can teach people training technique, you can teach people diet strategies, but personality is something that you can't teach. So it's a very, very, very important aspect of the job, you know. So I think looking at it and saying, you know, 75-80% of the job is psychology and how well you can communicate to the client. I think, you know, being able, whether it's, you know, what I was just talking about there from the diet, or it could be you know, how well you can cue exercises, you know, down the track with people a little bit more advanced, or how well you can take a really complex concept and break it down to somebody on a level that they understand and say, okay, I understand that, I'm going to adhere to it, sort of thing. So again, yeah, I think communication is a vital, vital part of the personal training. It's a vital part of every industry. But you know, I've only ever been in the fitness industry, so that's all I can speak on.
And I think, for personal trainers, or, you know, yeah, coming into the industry and they feel like they're introverted, there's still hope, because it's just because you're an introvert and you label yourself an introvert doesn't mean that you can't put a hat on and be extroverted. Like, people can actually do it. Like, I'm technically an introvert, like, and but people think I'm an extrovert, but it's like, nah, like, I enjoy it. Yeah, exactly right. Absolutely. So like, people like us can actually learn how to communicate effectively. It's like, you just, you know, it's not like you put on a false hat, but you're just like, okay, cool. Now I actually have to step outside of my comfort zone for a little bit. Yeah. And it's just like, once you do that, you kind of get used to it and then you kind of start enjoying it. But then I like to kind of also come back to my, because that's how I recharge my mental state, is spending time by myself or doing things that I enjoy. So it's not like people who are probably listening to this and think, oh, fuck, I'm an introvert, oh, I should just change my career. No, you just
Not. I am an introvert too, 100%. And you can ask anybody that knows me. It takes a lot to get me out somewhere social. Anybody that knows me knows the same sort of thing. It's like, I will go out and do seminars in front of 80 people, no problems. When it comes time to go out and do social, it takes a lot to get me out. Like, I don't go out that much. Which I think I'm at work a lot, so I'm dealing with people all day. So same sort of thing, you know, come home, recharge your batteries, you know, which sometimes takes a long time for me. But absolutely. You know, and you always play to your strengths. I think, you know, for me, I know, so I can do seminars in front of large groups of people I was terrible at it when I first started. I still think I'm terrible at it, but I think I might be a little bit better than I used to be, but I still think I'm terrible at it. But I am more than confident that I do my best work during one-on-one sessions and consults. And that's why I still do a lot of that, is because, you know, I give out my best information when I'm one-on-one with somebody, and I can, you know, I actually prefer doing that. So, introverted or extroverted, you know, you can still be a great communicator and be introverted. Absolutely. You just got to play to what you're comfortable with and what your strengths are. And, you know, as you get comfortable, you can, you know, same thing as in the gym, you know, as you do something and it gets easier, you can progressively overload the weight. It's an identical sort of concept with it, I think. And, you know, as you starting one-on-one, as you get more comfortable with it, you know, move on. And, you know, I would do group classes of three people and that would stress me out like crazy, and, you know, sort of build it up. And then the first time I ever did a workshop was like for five people maybe. And that stressed me out. And nowadays, you know, I can do larger groups, and, you know, it's still stressful. But, you know, it gets more comfortable, you know, the more you do it. So I think, again, it's that progressive overload concept like you have in the gym. But yeah, you just got to play to your strengths, I think, you know,
and I think
don't be something you're not.
Yeah. And communication, I think communication is a big factor and like a topic to kind of discuss, because now we're moving into the future in a sense of like online training, you know, Zoom workouts and shit like that. And communication online is so much more harder, because you lose the tonality, you lose the facial expressions, you lose a lot of communication. So it's like, you got to know, like I was talking to Daniel England about this last week, and it was like, okay, you got to learn how to communicate with someone face to face. And then once you go online, it's a little bit easier, where if you start off just online straight away, like it's so hard to communicate correctly. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's in person, when you train, there's 16 physical cues you can use to train somebody. So there's 16 different physical cues. They're much easier to use than verbal cues. So what you have to do is, you know, when you're in person, they're still hard to do. It's still hard to be able to get somebody to perform an exercise properly, cueing physically in person, by, you know, using counterforce or, you know, being able to show them or touch them where they should be feeling the weight, anything like that. The minute you go online, you lose 70% of the skills that you would usually use to teach somebody an exercise. So, you know, when I look at personal training, it's much harder, because it significantly limits how you cue exercises, how you look at technique, how you're able to communicate how they're feeling, because you're not standing there. Like, you know, they could be just saying, oh, it feels really hard in the exercise. But, you know, if you're there in person, you can say, look, you got five more reps left in the tank, or, you know, stop now because your technique's sort of, you know, going to shit. But, you know, when you're online, you don't have those things. So online training is much, much harder when it's done properly. I think, unfortunately, there's a lot of people nowadays that are looking at it, you know, here's your calories and here's a workout program, which I think, you know, is... It's fine, and it will get a lot of results for people that don't, you know, need extra help and things like that. But, you know, from a perspective of online training, you know, I will always look at trying to maximize results first. And I think, you know, online training is way harder than in-person training, like way. I struggle with it still, just because, and I try not to do too much of it, because I'll get frustrated at myself, because, you know, somebody will say to me, hey, this exercise is just not working. I'm like, all right, I need to see the video. And then there's 20 things I need to pull apart. And 9 times out of 10, I end up saying to them, listen, you got to get down to my gym just for a one-off session so that I can go through and teach you physically. So again, I think when online training is done properly, you know, it's hard to do at the best of times. And I think a lot of people don't realize how hard it is when you give the level of effort that you'd want to be able to get the same results as you would in person. So, I mean, obviously there's going to be different scales of things and prices will be skewed accordingly and things like that. But, you know, in order to get the level of attention and detail that you'd want out of an in-person trainer, it's a really hard job. It's much, much harder than it is in person. I think if you have to be a very good in-person trainer to go online and be able to deliver the same result.
Right. So yeah, you have to be really good at the face-to-face stuff before you go online and actually be really good at it. Gotcha. Where do you see the future of personal training and gyms moving in the next 5-10 years? Have you put too much thought to this?
mean, a little bit. I think like we have and we haven't. Like the online stuff's always going to be there. Like the, you know, how you can get the, you know, here's your macros, here's your program. I think that's always going to be there. I think for people, they just need to, you know, draw back to basics and sort of just remember that if you look at what your service is and what people are paying for, and you deliver that service better than the norm, it doesn't matter what way you want to deliver the result. As long as you can get the result, you will be successful. So I think, you know, I don't, you know, we can say, oh, you know, gyms are all moving towards, you know, like the RBT kind of ways and things like that, and people are wanting to go there. But I think, you know, if you're able to deliver something, you know, deliver what you sell better than most people, I don't think you're ever going to struggle. Like, I don't think, you know, we can, our, where we're located currently, we have every type of gym, and we have 7 gyms within a 3-kilometer radius of us right now. And I don't, we, you know, it's just something that we don't even think about, because, you know, we know at the end of the day, and we're confident that, you know, what we sell, we can deliver better than anybody. So, you know, and we will, and if we don't think that, then we're going to continue to upskill and learn to be able to do that. And I think as long as, you know, as long as people can do that, if it's online, if it's, you know, at a RBT style, F45 style gym, or a gym like ours, which is just like a private facility or a commercial facility or whatnot, you know, I think, yeah, as long as you can deliver what you say, I think, you know, you'll be fine. Whether it's a Revo's are opening up now everywhere, but again, that's sort of a vessel for personal trainers to go in and work. So, you know, I don't consider what we do any different to what trainers at Revo do. You know, for us, it's exactly the same. The only difference is we pay rent on a building, and they pay rent to a gym to use their equipment, whereas we have the equipment belongs to us. I don't think anything else is different for us to them. So, you know, I think as much thought as I have given it is, I don't think anybody that, yeah, delivers the result that they want, delivers the result well, is going to struggle regardless of what format that you want to do. If it's online, there's always going to be good and bad. If it's in person, there's always going to be good and bad trainers. If it's, you know, it's, you know, for me, it's deliver the result, you'll be successful.
And that confidence that you have, in a sense of moving forward, comes from buy-in, having buy-in with your people when getting results. So it comes back to like upskilling, get the buy-in, get the results. And you know, if you can get the results, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I don't think, you know, again, I think up until last year, we've had the business now for 5 years. I believe total. And I think up until last year, we'd only ever spent $8 on marketing in our entire, like we spent more money on like toilet paper and hand supplies than we did on marketing in the last 5 years, sort of thing, you know. And, you know, but upskilling and education, we spent a ton of money on. So for us, you know, I feel like we just created the best buy-in we could, created the best reputation we could. And I don't think, you know, the marketing kind of does itself for us in a way. Like we sort of get the result, we'll show the result off. And then, you know, at any day, we'll have 5 to 6 inquiries, you know, 6 days a week, even now, just by posting, you know, before and after photos online and things like that. So again, and anybody that I know that's very, very successful, you know, if you look at the most successful trainers in the state and in the country, you know, what do they all have in common? They all deliver results. So, you know, for me, it's just a non-negotiable.
Love it.
Having
that non-negotiable with yourself to always upskill and be the best you can be in the industry. Do you have any last minute tips for people getting into the industry or are currently in the industry and they want to get to the next level in their business? Apart from what we've already run through?
What did I say? Again, yeah, we covered a lot of it today, actually. You know, being able to be professional, practice what you preach. You don't have to be looking like a Barbie or Ken doll, but still practice what you preach.
So don't be hell fat. In other words.
Yeah, like I just think, you know, you need to have a level of, it also, there's a level of buy-in there. You know, there's a lot of absolutely terrible trainers around the world that have amazing physiques and are super successful. So, you know, it is part of the buy-in as well. You know, well, if they do it, then it must work. So things, you don't have to be like super crazy shredded or anything, but you do need to practice what you preach. Constantly learn. And when you're learning, it's not learning to veer towards things you enjoy. I cannot stress that enough, because that is one of the single biggest problems with upskilling. I find is people upskill, but they upskill just for their own enjoyment. It's not, okay, I've got these clients and they're not getting these results, so where am I going to go to learn to fix it?
Yeah.
Sort of thing. So I think, you know, by constantly doing that, I have a rule with people that they need to do 4 educational courses a year.
That's a good number.
And that will put you in the top 5% of trainers in Australia.
Yeah, I love that, man. I totally agree. And studying what you don't like as well is key, because like I hate writing, I hate copywriting, but I'm currently going through a copywriting course because I'm like, I need to know this, because it's so effective with everything else that I do with my business. So not just studying the things that interest you and what your clients need from you. Cause that's what I looked at. I was like, what do my clients need from me? Okay, it needs better copy. I'll do that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and it's just, you know, work out. Again, your job in business is, and as a trainer, is to be a problem solver. You know, you got to solve the client's problems, to find the roadblocks that's stopping them from getting their result, and get them the result. Same thing in business. You know, and if you look at it, if there's something in business, or there's something in marketing, or something in the clients, you know, there's a roadblock somewhere, you got to work out how to fix it. And the more of those roadblocks that you can fix, the further you can go. So, you know, regardless of whatever it is, you know, whether it's even just recently, for example, like I notoriously don't train bikini competitors, in bodybuilding, cause it's not my favorite division. It's just a personal opinion. So nobody get mad at me or anything like that. It's just what it is. And recently I've had a few bikini clients, and I was sort of getting through it and realizing I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. Like I do, but you know, there's issues that I probably need to learn to make, you know, to be more value to the client. So I went off and I spoke to people that I know are much better than me at it. And again, it's not something I like, a lot. And, you know, I've started learning a little bit more about it, and it's, you know, it's the actual, service that I'm delivering now is 100 times better than it was 6 months ago. And now that I'm actually getting great results with it, I generally start enjoying it a little bit more. So, you know, you'll find that sort of stuff happens as well. And, you know, I just found a roadblock in something that I would never usually learn about, and said, yep, okay, this is going to help me add more value to the clientele. So now I'm going to go learn it. I've done it. It's come back and it is adding more value. And it will continue to add more value for the rest of my career. And I'm sure, you know, there's going to be 100 more things coming up that I'm going to have to see a roadblock and then just go out and learn. And so I think, you know, that key for upskilling is really, really important. But yeah, besides that, I think, you know, just be professional, constantly learn, put your clients in your service first. And I think the business, you know, the brand and the business builds itself, because, you know, as a final quote towards that, you know, if anybody, and I'll speak just in the body composition world at the moment, but anybody that is a very well-known trainer and very successful, they're successful and they're very well-known because they get absolutely incredible results. So again, you know, I think it comes down to it is, you know, that again is what's going to build reputation. That's what's going to build your business. That's what's going to build your clientele. You know, and if you have 100 clients and you can't service them, that's 100 people that are going to go away and shit talk your business and say they didn't get results. Whereas if you have 10 people that turn around and say, hey, this person has gotten me amazing results, you got 10 people that are going to go and tell other people how good you are. And then your potential for clients is going to be much higher. So I just think there's too many things where it's just too important not to put your whole business towards it.
Love it, man. Rich, thank you so much for spending some time with me. Where can no people problem. Find you and learn more about you? If you got events coming up or anything like that?
Yeah, so we've got my personal Instagram is Richard_physiquecode. And for anybody not following me, I tend to try to put up as much, you know, content towards body composition and losing body fat and building muscle as I possibly can. We have our business account, which is at Physique Code, where we'll go through and put a lot more stuff through the business, client results and what's happening and things like that. You can find us on Facebook. You can just look up Physique Code or our website, and In terms of things coming up, I have a seminar on Friday, the 19th of February, which is running at Roar Coburn, I think at 12 o'clock.
So that'll I saw that.
Yeah, so that'll be on nutrition, just application. So it'll be about 60 minutes on what I do with clients. And this is a free event as well. So it's going to be a really cool teaser into a lot of, you know, the sort of systems and the beliefs of what Physique Code does to get all their results. So it'd be a really cool teaser for that.
So anyone can show up for that.
Absolutely. It's free, 100%. So we'll have that. And then throughout the year, we'll have, I've got three workshops throughout the year, which we have to have the dates to confirm by. They'll be on exercise technique and anatomy, programming, which is, you know, the one that kind of brought my name out a little bit more, which is, you know, how I program things and the systems that I use for that. And then we'll have a nutrition one towards the end of the year as well, I think. So at the moment, that will be the events. But yeah, if anybody is interested in any of those, flick me a message and see if we can get you in.
Awesome, man. So everyone, follow him on Instagram and hit him up for the questions around. Go attend his free event, 19th of February at Roar Coburn. Rich, I appreciate your time today, mate. Thank you so much for coming on board.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much, man.